This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, October 4th, 2021. Are you wrong with that? We gotta start this at some point. We're like, what, 7 minutes
no,
in?
No, yeah, that was it.
Just
that
go,
was it.
Full speed ahead.
Like, full speed. I am Blessing Eddie A. Jr., one of your hosts, and joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim Ma Fun Geddes.
Oh, Bless, it's good to be back with you here. I've missed you. You've been gone an entire week, and it's weird. It's weird not hanging out with you, talking to you about video games for that long. I think that might be the longest stretch since you joined us. Kind of Funny. So it's nice to have you back.
It's weird doing a whole week without doing KFGD and like occasionally tuning in, because now we have such a good cast of hosts where I'll tune in on a random day and it's Tamor and Tim, and I'm like, oh shit, all right, cool. Oh, yeah. And like, I'll listen to Tamor talk and I'm like, man, I wish I was doing KHD right now. Like, I've not felt this in a while, right? Like, actually listening as a listener. But, you know, like, I'm back. I'm here. You know, had a good vacation. Went to Houston for a few days. Visited family. That was fun. How have you been, Tim?
Oh, I've been fantastic. This weekend was just great. It was just a lot of playing high-quality video games. I'm not going to go too long on this, but Halo is back. We keep saying it, and we're going to continue to say it. Plus, I haven't had that much fun playing a video game in years. Big team battle with all the boys. Oh, my God. We got a squad rolling. Like, we had almost 12 people. All your faves were there. We got Andy. We got Nick. We had me. We had Raj popping in there. Kev was playing with us. Steve Saylor was popping in there. We got dudes from 343 coming in. David Ellis and stuff. It was awesome. Jeff Rubenstein popped in. It was such a blast, man. Like, that game is incredible, and I can't wait for it to come out, be able to play every damn day.
That's what I'm waiting for, because I've not been able to touch Halo Infinite yet just because of circumstance. I've always been busy during a Halo test flight, or I've just not gotten in. And so, like, I cannot wait for December 8th, because I was talking to somebody about this recently where, like, I'm like, dude, I've not been heavily into Halo, like, ever. I've not heavily played Halo ever. You know, I've always had friends that had Halo. I would play at their place, but they would always decimate me because they owned the game, and I was a PlayStation guy. But I've always loved arena shooters, and I like first-person shooters, and, like, I talk about Apex all the time, how in love I am with that game. And I feel like Halo Infinite is going to be the one for me where, come December 8th, I'm going to be like, cool, this is my game now. Like, I'm playing this forever. And speaking of this, actually, it was a tweet recently from Imran the Don Khan. He tweeted out, like, yo, is there a game that's going to come out over the rest of the year that you think is going to make it into your game of the year list? And I was looking at the rest of the year, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, we've kind of reached that point where most of the games are kind of out in terms of the big hitters. This is a question I'll pass to you. Like, is Halo Infinite on that list for you? Do you think Halo Infinite has the chance to be in that top three for you?
Yeah, definitely. Halo Infinite's a complicated thing when it comes to the game of the year conversation, because of the fact that we just simply don't know enough about the campaign. Like, last we saw it, it wasn't looking great. And unless they drastically fix that, I don't know that that's going to be in game of the year contention. And I think that will take the multiplayer side down enough that I think it could get it out of that conversation as an overall. But at the end of the day, who gives a shit? There's so much fun to be had that I will say the multiplayer experience so far, I think, is my game of the year. Like, I think that would take out Artful Escape for me. But I need to see more. I want to see, like, the full kind of suite of maps and everything. But so far, how they've been rolling it out, every single thing that they've had, I'm like, this is truly incredible. They, like, managed to bridge the gap between classic Halo and modern Halo, plus making an entire new experience. Like, I am supremely impressed with what we've seen on the multiplayer side.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw the clip from Andy over the weekend, too, where he grapples onto a moving ship and then hijacks it in air, and I was like, dude, I gotta play this game. I cannot wait for that to come out. And also, shout out to Forza Horizon. That's one that's coming out this year too. That I don't know if that's gonna make it at the top of my list, but I always love Forza Horizon when that comes out. And so that's another game I'm looking forward to as well. But Tim,
Metroid Dread, I want to give a shout out to as well. We can't count Nintendo out ever.
Never count Nintendo out. Let's keep talking about games that we're gonna be hyped for. Games like Illphonics, Ghostbusters game that seems to be coming up, Injustice 3, which might possibly be revealed soon, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, actually, before I tell you how to be a part of the show, let me remind you that you can go or you can use your Epic creator code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and like Fortnite to help support Kinda Funny. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, before I even get to housekeeping, let me switch to my actual glasses so I can read. Tomorrow, Andy and I are taking part in Panda's All-Star Nickvitational, a huge Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl tournament featuring a bunch of big YouTubers and streamers like Ovilee, Moist Critical, Ludwig, and more. It's all to raise charity for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, and we need your help. Competitors in the tournament and their communities have 1 week to raise money to bid on their favorite character. That's based on the money that you donate. Right now, you can go to kindoffunny.com/bless and kindoffunny.com/Andy to donate so that we can have enough money to bid on the character of our choice. Spoilers, I really want Toph from Avatar. We're going to talk a little bit about that later, because Toph was just revealed. That's my favorite Avatar character. I really want to use Toph in the game. So help me out. Go to kindoffunny.com/bless, donate. And remember, all that money goes to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
We're killing it. Last Friday, we raised, like, I think almost $2,000 for it. So,
oh yeah.
Good job, guys. Keep killing it.
Good job, everybody. Remember, you have 24 hours to make that happen still, because the tournament is happening Tuesday, October 5th. That's tomorrow at noon Pacific time on twitch.tv/pandaglobal. If that's not enough blessing content for you, this week you're getting another episode of The Blessing Show. That's my monthly show where I break down a hot topic for you in video games. I'm not going to spoil what this week's episode is about. I'm just going to say that this month's episode is loopy as hell. That's all I'm going to say. It's loopy. Ooh. Make sure you check that out this Thursday on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And the first episode of The Arkham Files, a Kind of Funny Games miniseries where Barrett looks back at what makes each of the Batman Arkham games so special, premieres next Monday, October 11th on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames at 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. Join Barrett in the live chat and talk with him about why Arkham Asylum is still a masterclass in design. It's a good couple of weeks for you if you're into that hot Kind of Funny video essay content.
Yes. Real quick, I want to just slide in one last thing. Tomorrow, 7 a.m. Pacific time, we will reacting to the final Super Smash Brothers Ultimate character announcement and just update in general. I'm so excited.
Where are you at with that?
10 out of 10 hype. 10 out of 10 hype. I can't believe it. I'm emotional about it. I can't believe this is the end of an era. I really, 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 really hope that it is either Crash Bandicoot, Master Chief, or Sora. Those three would be my 10 out of 10. Sakurai, you fucking did it. Picks. I think I have a much longer list of characters I'd be like, you know what? I'm happy with. The only characters I don't want it to be, I don't want a Pokemon. I wouldn't be that jazzed about like the Fortnite Fire Emblem situation.
Oh, you don't want Fortnite. That's what I've seen some people theorizing.
Yep. I mean, it makes sense. And then that to me, I'd be like, all right, I get it, but it's not really exciting to me. But the other things would be very exciting.
Yeah, the latest update we've gotten from Sakurai about that earlier on Twitter, he tweeted out, one more day until the last DLC fighter for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is announced. Whether you're a Smash Bros. Player or simply love games, make sure to tune in. And that gets me excited, because that makes me think that it's not going to be what you think of typically as like a Nintendo, like a Fire Emblem or Pokemon, like a typical Smash Bros. Character. I'm thinking we're going to get something that's big for video games, period.
The other thing that I just want to put this out in the world, I would be pretty excited if it wasn't some third-party character, even a first-party character. It was something that is just celebrating video games that is weird, like an N64 controller or something, like something super random. But Sakurai knows what's up.
I'll like something. I mean, to that point, I would like something that is like Game & Watch adjacent, where it is, oh, this is a specific era that, like, this is a dumb idea, but like, what if it was like the Nintendo card game that like launched them into like making games, right? Some stupid shit like that, where it's like, oh shit, I did not see this coming, but this is cool because it celebrates this era of Nintendo or this era of video games. It could be cool to get something like a Doom guy, because I think that would represent like the early FPS era pretty well. Like, I think there are a lot of good directions you can go with that. I just hope that is something hype and exciting. I would like Sora. I think Sora would be really, really cool.
could it be the mass? Is it Master Hand?
Like, oh my god,
the bad guy that we've played for so many of these.
Yeah, totally.
That'd be insane. That'd be insane. Give me Glover.
Right? Give me Glover. Like, Glover is an alt. Glover.
Oh my god, you have to love it. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, Honey, and American Giant, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one. Of course, it's October. It's Donktober. It's my favorite month of the year. We got to start things off spooky. Let's talk about Ghostbusters being the next game from Illphonic. This is from Chris Capel at PC Games N. Illphonic, the developer behind Friday the 13th, the game, and Predator Hunting Grounds, is apparently working on a Ghostbusters game as its next big franchise title. The most recent game in the franchise was 2019's Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, and that was a re-release of a 10-year-old game. So fans are long overdue for a new one. This news comes thanks to Illphonic's co-founder, Rafael Sadiq, who let it slip during a recent podcast interview. R&B artist Sadiq is mostly known for his music, about which he was interviewed for the podcast Questlove Supreme this week. Around the halfway point, the discussion brought up his involvement in Illphonic, and when asked about the studio's games, Sadiq says about Friday the 13th, Predator, quote, "and we're working on Ghostbusters right now," end quote. Sadiq didn't elaborate further, but it's worth noting that Ghostbusters is owned by Sony. Not only was Predator Hunting Grounds published by Sony, former Sony Interactive executive Gio Corsi joined Illphonic as chief product officer in January 2020, promising, quote, "big exciting times ahead," end quote. Predator was released on both PC and PS4, so there's no reason to suspect Ghostbusters wouldn't be on PC too if it happens. Now, Tim motherfucking Geddes, of course, I have you here. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a whole episode of KFGD to talk about video game news and talk about what this Ghostbusters video game means. But I'd be lying if I said that the first person that didn't come to mind, if I was to bring up both Ghostbusters and Illphonic and Predator Hunting Grounds and Friday the 13th, wouldn't be, of course, the host of PS Love You, Greg Miller. Greg, how's it going?
It's great, Blessing. I'm turning on the camera, Kevin. The real king of Halloween is here, ladies and gentlemen. It's me. It's Greg Miller. All right, I'm running OBS in the background because I was doing this. Yeah, thing. There we go. Real king of Halloween, Greg Miller.
There we go.
How are you? A big, huge day for us, of course, and the Ghostbusters fandom. Here we are, Blessing. First off, I love your suit. I like that you're here to support me as King of Halloween once again, wearing a Spirit Halloween suit. That's very nice of you. It's interesting you're doing that, especially with Janet coming on so strong to try to take my throne as King of Halloween, as she did on Kind of Funny Games Daily last week. You know what I mean? It's interesting you're here
really
late to the show doing that.
But this is wild because I didn't realize it was a throne. I just love Halloween. That's why I dress this way. I didn't realize that we're competing.
Well, I'm surprised you put on the color orange in the background, not, you know, purple and green, just to stick with that one. You know what I mean?
I mean, those aren't Halloween colors. Green is a Christmas color. Everybody knows this.
All right, well, diverting back to the news, ladies and gentlemen, Ghostbusters Illphonic. Are you fucking kidding me? Let's go. Let's fucking go.
Insane, Greg. Like, Bless was just saying, like, this is the most Greg Miller thing ever, because, like, you've loved the Friday the 13th games, Predator even more so, and now a Ghostbusters game. And like, just thinking about it, it makes so much sense with that type of asymmetrical gameplay where it's like the teams against people. It's like, cool, PvE shit, you got the ghosts happening, you got a team of four Ghostbusters having to work together to trap them. Like, what?
That's what gets interesting, is when you stop to think about what this game will be. You know, the article you're reading from, of course, referencing Ghostbusters, the video game, the remastered version of it. But, you know, what was the Ghostbusters one from Terminal Reality back in the day? And if you were to talk about, you know, what do you want from a Ghostbusters video game nowadays? I don't know if I would have a good answer for you, right? Like, obviously, we're on the cusp of Afterlife coming out in November, hopefully reinvigorating the franchise for a number of people. So then you get into, all right, what would a video game for Ghostbusters look like? And after getting, you know, Ghostbusters, the video game and remastered, whatever you want to call it, like, I'm not hankering for another one to run out and be Ray, Egon, Pete, and Winston, right? Like, I don't need that necessarily. So it does lead you into this, all right, well, what would you do? And I think you look at Illphonic's track record, you look at how they've handled Friday the 13th, how they've handled Predator, and then if they were to take on Ghostbusters, that gets super interesting really quickly, right? Because I think when we talk about when we would go and play Predator, right, we'd have all those awesome streams and Let's Plays, it was Snowbike Mike and Nick coming up with, what were Chad or whoever the hell their characters were, and they had a whole backstory for Brody and all this stuff that they would go off and do, and that was fun and that was cool, but it still was generic characters you were running through the jungle with, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're gonna go and tackle Ghostbusters, I get interested of, okay, cool. So I would assume then it's similar that we're, you know, taking the standard template Ghostbusters they have and then playing as them and then either unlocking, right? Predator is so big on going through and as you play, you know, taking in the credits you've earned to get new paint styles, to get new weapon skins, to get new outfits, to apply those to Ghostbusters, I think goes pretty easily, right? Of like, you create your character and then it is your, you know, are you wearing the traditional Ghostbuster suit? Are you wearing a Ghostbusters 2 suit? Are you wearing a real Ghostbuster suit? Are you creating your own suit as you go and do that? What do the packs look like? What do the powers look like? Obviously, you know, I think so many people have the vision of what Ghostbusters is in their head from the 84 film, but I think in a film, in a thing like this, where in a time like this where people understand customization options, that gets really interesting. And so then the other flip of it though is that, okay, cool, so we're talking, you know, asymmetrical gameplay, which has always been before. For Friday the 13th, one person was Jason, the rest were counselors. For Predator, one person was Predator, the rest were the soldiers out there trying to do their thing. I wonder in a Ghostbusters game how that works, because does it become that, cool, there are four Ghostbusters and then there's one ghost? Is it that there's four Ghostbusters and then there are multiple ghosts that are people? Is it four Ghostbusters and then there's no human being a ghost? That I don't buy. Maybe there's a mode similar to a Left 4 Dead or Back 4 Blood right now, but I would think if you're Ilphonic, you want to keep that party atmosphere going where it is constantly, there's a group of Ghostbusters and then either one ghost who's maybe like a Gozer or a Stay Puft, or you'd probably toy it around, but I mean a bigger ghost than what a normal little ghost would be. You're that person, and then the customization options for that, and then running out of it gets interesting. And yes, Tim, as you said it, this is obviously a game so designed around me, right? Like, I loved Friday the 13th. And it was funny, over the weekend when this popped and I tweeted about it, I think so many people are either new kind of funny fans or know me from something else maybe than Let's Plays or whatever. And we're like, I got excited for a Ghostbusters game. And then I looked at this developer and like Friday the 13th and Predator. And I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up. Those games are so much fun. Are they 10 out of 10s? God, no. But like, Friday the 13th, I played nonstop and I had so much fucking fun with. And what I've always gone back to when I talk about Friday the 13th, because I knew that franchise so well, and Predator less so, but I enjoyed and saw it, but didn't understand it the same way, was Friday the 13th, the fan service. That's what Ilphonic fucking nailed about Friday the 13th, where it was, they went and got Tommy Jarvis, a voice actor, to come back and, or actor to come back and be that guy. They went and got like the cabins. When me and Jen were watching it that Halloween, where we watched every Friday the 13th while playing that game, it was crazy for me to be like in Friday the 13th 4 or 5 or whatever the fuck it was. Well, I don't remember. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the cabin I play in the game. And like, I know this cabin in the movie from the game so well, but it turned out that they took the movie cabin and put it there. To think about what a firehouse would look like for that way, to think about what New York in general, what the Ecto-1 would look like, you start getting into really cool, interesting concepts, and let alone what the pack would feel like, what the proton stream would look like. You know, I'm assuming it's going to be a, like we're saying, asymmetrical multiplayer. I would think they take everything they've learned from Predator, so it is a first-person shooter Predator. Maybe not, actually. I like third-person, right? I like third-person a lot, and I feel like with your pack and your suit and all the customizations options, maybe you do that in third-person, so it looks a bit cooler, so you can see it a bit more. But if I'm playing with my friends, obviously, you guys see me, and I'd see you, and we'd have it that way. It gets super interesting as to what this game probably will be and what it could be.
Does Ilphonic, also working on Arcade Again, do anything for you and what you think this game might be? Because I know, like, historically we associate them with that 4v1 asymmetrical multiplayer, sure. But for what Arcade Again was, or is, because it's still in early access, right? It is this co-op roguelite shooter where it is you going through a bunch of different levels. I know that probably doesn't make as much sense at all for Ghostbusters, but does that, like, widen your perception of, oh, maybe this could be four players versus the environment? Or do you feel like for what Ilphonic is and for what Ghostbusters is, especially following the lineage of Predator and Friday the 13th, do you feel like it's got to be asymmetrical multiplayer? Or do you think they might switch things up and like try? And I'm gonna piggyback that question with another question. Sure. Is that what you want? Like, would you want it to be a 4v1 asymmetric multiplayer game from Ilphonic?
So two parts to that question. I'll start with the former, then get to the latter, right? Never say never. You know what I mean? You're talking about Arcade Again, right? And what they've done there in early access on PlayStation right now. Never say never. I would think, though, that if your breakout titles, the things people know you for, are Friday the 13th and Predator, I think that becomes so simple that, you know, I mean, you're taking on all these 80s franchises that you walk into the Sony Pictures boardroom, right, to pitch this. Or you go to, I guess, Ghost Core and talk to, you know, Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman and Jason Reitman and all them. And you're like, hey, look at what we've done with these franchises. We want to do that with Ghostbusters. And since hopefully this franchise doesn't seem to be in a fucking constant legal battle as everyone they've worked with before is, maybe we can actually do some cool shit and have like a long tail on what this is going to end up being. I think that's what you do. I think that's what you sell. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you can look at and go off of. Because again, we're talking about quality, right, of these games. And of course Friday 13th has a whole thing behind it, as we all remember, right, of like, it was a Kickstarter, it came out, they were not prepared. That was really Ophonic getting thrown onto the stage. They were working with Gun as a publisher at the time, then there was the legal battles, yada yada yada, a lot got in that way. Predator, of course, was Ophonic working with PlayStation as a publisher and coming out and supporting that. And again, that's a game that either you liked or didn't like, but I loved, and I like that kind of gameplay. What is interesting then to get to your question, Bless, of like, is this what I want out of a Ghostbusters game? I would say yes. And I say that because I've gotten, you know, during the dark times when it seemed like we were never getting another Ghostbusters movie, I got Ghostbusters the video game. I got a Ghost, which is all intents and purposes, Ghostbusters 3. I got to see in my medium, right? And it's, you know, how weird my life is in Ghostbusters and video games, right? But like, I got to see in my preferred medium, the franchise that got me into video games for the last time as it was, right? That's Harold Ramis's last performance as Egon Spengler. That's the last time you see the boys in gray suited up together, ready to go do something. And that was a fun ride, and that was great. And I don't sit here now going, in the same way I've talked about before, like, I don't sit here and I could tell you a million different Superman stories I'd want to see. I don't sit here and say, here's the Ghostbusters story I want to see. Here's the narrative I want to see. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters, for me, especially as somebody who is an unhealthy obsession with it. Yeah, unhealthy obsession. Cosplays all the time at the drop of a hat.
I wouldn't have been able to tell, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll hide it very well. One of the fantasies of Ghostbusters is the fact that anybody can do it. Anybody can cook. You know, Ghostbusters is just a job you go get, and you get some cool tools, and you go out and be a exterminator or garbage man or whatever you want to call it, right? And so, honestly, that plays really well into, hey, here's a character to create. Hey, go out and do this thing and go run jobs with your friends. And yep, for me, when we play these, when we do the Let's Plays of this and streams of it, I'm going to totally be nerding out the first few times of like, oh my God, and that is from the Sedgwick Hotel and you don't understand and blah, blah, blah. And hopefully, if you knock on wood, it's like Predator and Friday the 13th, you guys don't see that, but you enjoy the gameplay. You enjoy the shenanigans we're having. We, you know, Nick is the ghost who's running around going, and like, you know, the big thing is we talk about all this. I'm surprised we went this far. Of course, it's me just ranting and raving, and I apologize for that. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've honestly never played it, because, you know, I don't play a lot of PC games. Phasmophobia is basically what we're pitching, right? That's the idea, right? Where you're ghost hunters and you go out and people possess the house and do shit, right?
Well, Phasmophobia it's not asymmetric. It is like four players and they're going into a house and they're trying to solve, like, they're basically ghost hunting. Yeah, it is a similar thing, but
isn't you somebody, the other person plays the ghost, right?
No, the ghost is AI.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way around. See, okay.
But it could be like, I mean, I think there are similar mechanics that could possibly translate in terms of, if you do have a player playing as a ghost, they could work in a way that is similar to how the AI works, where they are haunting the house. Maybe they have some kind of objective that they're doing. And for the players that are infiltrating and trying to bust this ghost, they have to like figure out what the clues are and infiltrate and have all these tools so they can actually see the ghost and do all these. I think there are a lot of things that can translate in the way that you're talking about.
Because I really do feel like you're going to get into this gameplay rhythm that is similar to what we did when we did the Back 4 Blood multiplayer, right? Where we all played as, you know, you went round by round where one group is the humans, one group is the Ridden, then you'd switch sides and go back and forth. And when we were the Ridden, I remember those first, you blessing, you were on that stream, right? I remember those that first time being like, I don't know if I vibe with this. Yeah. I don't know if this is working for me. But then when we've kind of gotten the rhythm of like, oh, we're doing this, which brings out the horde zombies, we're the special zombies, we're kind of,
yeah, if we level up the right way,
we're playing everybody around each other. I feel like that applies to being a ghost in this world, which I assume you would be. But then again, I'm not sure if it is that you'd be one ghost, which, like Predator, because like, what are your ghost powers as you run around and do stuff? How do you, you know, take out the Ghostbusters?
Slime
how do
they people. Take you?
Yeah. Of course, you slime people, but I mean, like, am I murdering them, Tim? Am I taking them into Ghost Town? I don't know. We'll have to wait out.
I want to go to Ghost Town. What I think is really interesting about the story is how this game got unofficially announced.
Oh my God! Yeah. Right? Like, I didn't realize Rafael Sadiq was the co-founder of Illphonic. I
did not either. That is crazy. But even just this is kind of rare in this industry. Like, for normally things will leak in a way of, like, you know, things we're seeing that weren't supposed to be seen. It's rare that people in charge say things that aren't supposed to be said that creates a game that we don't know about that now we do know about. And especially with this, where it's like, this is so believable and adds up so much that you're like, oh yeah, this is real. Like this is all but confirmation.
Especially when you look at the part of the story where they talk about, yeah, it's worth noting that Ghostbusters is owned by Sony. Not only was Predator Hunting Grounds published by Sony, but former Sony Interactive executive Gio Corsi joined Illphonic. There's a lot to talk about there in terms of, like, oh yeah, this is 100% happening. Like, these, all this connects almost too well in a way where it's like, it is hard to deny that, like, this makes the most sense out of all the things. And it makes me ask questions which might end up leading into PSLW conversations that we might have later today going up tomorrow. Of one, like, for Polish,
funny games if you want to watch live.
Greg, you mentioned that, like, you know, people look at this announcement and went, oh yeah, oh, the Predator Hunting Grounds folks, oh, the Friday the 13th folks, like, those games are kind of rough, right? Like, does this game come out more polished and better because it is the Illphonic continually does get that backing from Sony? And you imagine from Sony, they're probably like, hey, yeah, let's get better. Like, let's ramp up, you know, let's figure this out, especially now that we're giving you Ghostbusters to work with, which is like a Sony franchise.
Sure.
One, do you think this game comes out more polished? And also, is Sony going to buy Illphonic? Like, is that what this is all leading to? Because now this is multiple projects in a row where they are theoretically, right, because we don't have confirmation of this,
you're right,
theoretically is going to be published by PlayStation, and Gio Corsi is there. Right, like this all lines up.
The Gio thing I don't read into. The Gio thing, you know, obviously, full disclosure, as I'm sure you all know, Gio's friend of the show, and obviously, but I don't know anything at all about Gio's role over there. Gio was not sent over there, I think, because of any, I'm gonna go on the inside, we're gonna work so closely with PlayStation, I'm gonna go over there and I'll know the whole system. I think Gio went over there because he's a real talented game businessman, right, and has been around the industry so long and knows it so well. It's not a bridge too far by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't read this as like, oh, this is definitely happening and it's going to be another PlayStation exclusive because of Predator and because Ghostbusters is a Sony thing. It could, but I also think people want to make money, and I think Sony Pictures wants to make money off the Ghostbusters license. As we were just talking about before we went live, Tim mentioning the fact that, like, Target, of course, decked out this year in Ghostbusters stuff. There's a big resurgence right now of trying to get Ghostbusters in front of everybody. So I don't think that it could be. I'm not at all trying to disqualify it. I wouldn't bet the farm yet that this is going to be a PlayStation exclusive, another PlayStation published game. I do think, to your point, Wes, it comes out more polished. I do think that, you know, Predator was more polished than Friday the 13th was. And I think that's because you go and you make these kind of games and you learn from them and you learn what's going on. And I think there's a lot to be said in terms of one of the reasons I love Friday. And I'm sorry, Tim, I know your hand up. I want to get back to your question in a second. One of the reasons I love Friday the 13th so much was I felt Friday the 13th was a great drop in. Cool, here's what we're gonna go do, and you go and do it. Like, we gotta try to get away from the killer kind of thing. I think Friday the 13th that sometimes leaned too hard on being a first person shooter, where it was like, it's awesome to fight the enemy, the alien or the predator, right, and go do that thing, but then it also was like, I'm upgrading my guns and I'm doing this thing over here, and then there's the other objective, and so it got really not complicated, but I think it was harder to drop into. I'd be interested to see if they come back towards Friday the 13th this way. Obviously, I think you're gonna have proton pack upgrades, you're gonna have, you know, whatever, your neutrona wand to upgrade and level it up and make it stronger, faster to hurt ghosts or whatever, but I think Ghostbusters as a concept is an easier drop-in point for people, right, of cool, you're the Ghostbusters, go catch this ghost, all right, cool. I don't think we're gonna have there'll be side objectives, I'm sure, for bonus points and things like that, but the overall idea of what you're doing, I think, will be a bit clearer, and I think it'll be a bit more fun, and I think it'll be a bit more cool just go in there and do the thing. Tim, what was your question?
This is me writing into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for PS I Love You. So this is a question I would like answered there. But taking what you're saying here about the likelihood of stuff, this is taking it to an extreme. What if all of this adds up to PlayStation acquiring Illphonic as a PlayStation Studios studio because of all the facts that you just lined up of Predator and Friday the 13th having all the issues, but Ghostbusters not only not having issues with licensing, it being Sony, it would all be owned by the same group, same people, they're in total control. Ghostbusters being this burgeoning IP, they've learned the mistakes, and I don't even want to call them mistakes, but they've learned from those prior games. They're like, they're in a better situation, and having that PlayStation Studios branding with the team making the game, having the experience that they have with the resources that PlayStation Studios would allow with that IP, that could be a mega hit. Do you think that's a possibility? Save that for the show.
Okay.
Yes. But for now, Greg, do you have any final thoughts on the Ghostbusters video game?
I hope it's real. I hope it gets announced soon. I can't wait to play it. You know what I mean? Like, I, again, adored Friday the 13th. I liked Predator a lot, but Predator didn't hit with me the same way Friday the 13th did, where Friday the 13th I really did think of as, like, you were playing a horror film, you know what I mean? Or a slasher film or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas Friday the 13th, yeah, you're playing a Predator, but, or I'm sorry, Predator, you're playing Predator, but not really as much my jam. Obviously, Ghostbusters is my jam. I hope they get a better trophy list. Both trophy lists sucked for Predator and Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. Don't fuck that up again, Ilphonic, if you're listening.
Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'll see you on PS. I love you.
Love you.
All right, let's talk about this is interesting because, like, I think the for the Ghostbusters thing, Greg mentioned Phasmophobia passively, and, like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, man, I would love a Phasmophobia Ghostbusters game. I don't know if that's what they're gonna do, but that could be a really cool idea. But Tim, for now, let's talk about story number two. Ed Boon is gonna be at DC Fandom. This is James Trodden at The Gamer. Ed Boon, the creative director of Injustice 2 and Mortal Kombat 11, is appearing at DC Fandom, sparking rumors and theories that Injustice 2 will be revealed later this month. For context, Fandom is a relatively new, entirely digital event where Warner Brothers unveils upcoming shows, comics, movies, and games related to DC. In the first outing, Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League were revealed alongside concept art for The Flash featuring Michael Keaton's Batman. It was a jam-packed event full of exciting details for the coming year. However, one game that was absent was Injustice, despite many fans believing that a sequel would be unveiled. Since then, developer NetherRealm Studios has announced that it is finished with Mortal Kombat 11, having launched its final DLC and the Ultimate Edition, leading to copious amounts of speculation regarding its next game. There have been leaks abound for a while, from the roster to the launch date, 2022, but nothing has been officially confirmed. Yet, with Ed Boon's appearance at Fandom, many believe that we'll find out more soon enough. Tim Geddes, do you believe it? Do you think we see Injustice 3 at Fandom?
You know, it's interesting. I don't want to write it off. I think it's not necessarily highly likely. Just the timing of everything, there's a lot already that we know is going to be a Fandom, especially on the video game side of things. I think that first off, it needs to be said, we were still in the dome. We haven't left the dome since last year. We went in, and the dome is life. But now that we are officially going deeper into the dome this year with DC Fandom 2, I appreciate their scheduling more this time. Like, it was a multi-day event last year. There was panels going on every which way. And it was just kind of like the early pandemic digital event trying to figure it out. I think overall they did something really cool and really special with the DC Fandom that kind of touched on a lot of different mediums, from comic books to TV shows to movies to games. And with this, they're focusing it. If I remember correctly, it's a 4-hour event. That it's always like prestige programming where there's only one feed. It's just one set of announcements covering all those things. So with that, we already kind of have a lot filled in of those 4 hours of what to expect. So adding more surprise announcements is not necessarily something that I'm expecting, but I wouldn't be surprised about this. Now, Injustice 3, I fucking love Injustice. I love NetherRealm. Their fighting games are so fantastic, especially when it comes to the single-player campaign. They're unmatched, in my opinion. And anything they put out, I'm going to play through the campaign just because it is so high quality and there's so much love and care put into it, even if I don't necessarily care that much about the IP. I will say that Injustice 2, I'd be fine moving out of that world. Like, we saw the DC thing done extremely well. So I would prefer to see something new, especially with, like, a lot of the conversations about the dream idea of a DC versus Marvel game. That would be so much more exciting to me. I can't imagine they're going to announce that. I mean, that's just, I don't think we're there in the world in terms of companies playing nice with each other. But I don't know, man. Injustice 3 would be one of the less exciting announcements for me in terms of what NetherRealm could be working on. Having said that, I'd be very excited because I love NetherRealm and I want to play whatever it is they're working on, and I'd rather them announce it sooner because that means I get to play it sooner.
Yeah, that's the interesting place where I think they find themselves in, where NetherRealm, they put out such quality games and put out some of the best fighting games in the market right now, right? And they have that back and forth between Mortal Kombat and Injustice, and they've had that for a while now, right? It's been, what, 5 games, maybe 6, and maybe more if you count Mortal Kombat versus DC. They've been doing that for a while, for the last decade, over the last decade, honestly.
Over a decade, yeah.
Yeah, and it's awesome. They've refined it, and they're putting out banger after banger after banger. But I think I have hit that place where I am like, all right, cool. What if NetherRealm did a new IP, or what if they found, like, a different IP, right? Like, they're so talented in what they do, and Mortal Kombat is so good. And Mortal Kombat is one that I forever want them to continue making, just because I'm such a big fan of Mortal Kombat. But to your point, I do think it's easy for that back and forth to kind of get stale when it is like, cool, you guys have figured this out. We know what a masterclass Injustice game looks like. We know what a masterclass Mortal Kombat game looks like. And I think there's always that desire to see a studio like that do something new and make a masterclass in something that is different from what they've done before. That said, if we saw Injustice 3, I'd be super hype for it. You know,
yeah,
I think
we're in the same spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh yeah, it'd be like Naughty Dog announcing the next Uncharted, where I'd be like, oh yeah, let's fucking go. Like, I'm gonna play the hell out of a new Uncharted. I want to see more from you. I want to see something fresh. But of course, this is gonna be polished and dope. And so, yeah, it's hard to even get mad or even disappointed by it, right? I think we're no matter what it is, we're gonna be excited. I just hope they announce it, because it's been a while now since we've gotten a new game from NetherRealm, like a brand new game. I loved playing Mortal Kombat Aftermath last year, and for anybody who played Mortal Kombat 11, if you haven't checked out Aftermath, for sure check out Aftermath, because that is more than DLC. It is essential. It is part of that core story. And playing Aftermath, dude, like was such a good time. But in terms of their release cadence, it's about that time where they're ramping up to put out something new. And so I hope we see it. I know there have been reports recently about, because of WB and WB Games and Discovery and all this stuff, you know, that apprehension that may be going on internally in terms of releasing a new Injustice game because of IP and because the uncertainty of, you know, is NetherRealm going to be under WB for the long run? But with them showing up at DC Fandom, I would think that maybe that is left behind. And Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, the WB Discovery stuff, that's been settled, right? Is there still ongoing talks with that? Kevin might know as well.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean, it's settled. I mean, like, it's settled.
Okay.
It is settled. What it actually means for a bunch of different companies and stuff, we don't know, but they know.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to wait and see on that one. But for now, let me remind everybody that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by DoorDash. Picture this, it's been a long week. You're glued to your couch, you're in your pajamas. In fact, you haven't seen your real clothes in weeks, and then it happens, your stomach rumbles. But don't get off your couch. Why don't you treat yourself tonight with something from DoorDash? DoorDash brings you what you want to eat right now, right to your door. But you also get groceries and other essentials delivered with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood's go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. Snowbike Mike loves DoorDash. He loves nothing more than getting his iced chai lattes delivered to him every morning so he can be fresh and ready to go for the day's work. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. We are also brought to you by Honey. I'm about to blow your mind. Did you know there's a wrong way to shop online? I got news for you, buddy. If you're not shopping with Honey, you've been doing it wrong. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online and is super, super easy to use. Say you're shopping on one of your favorite sites and you go to checkout. The Honey button will drop down and all you gotta do is click apply coupons and wait as Honey works its magic, looking for codes it can use for that site. If it finds a working coupon, you'll watch the price drop. Kevin and Tim use Honey all the time, especially now as we're ramping up the new studio. They're never not shopping online without Honey because they like saving money, and I like when they save me money. It's great. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. We'd never recommend something we don't use here personally, so get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games. We're also brought to you by American Giant. American Giant does a lot more than make the greatest hoodie ever made, which is already kind of a big deal. That's why they produce everything in America, with the added bonus of getting to obsess over every single detail of their clothing at every step. American Giant began with the belief that local makes better, every detail matters, and the clothes you wear every day should be beautiful and durable. The folks over at American Giant call themselves that because they know the power of supporting local manufacturers, communities, and workers. Tim is a hoodie fanatic, and he swears by these American Giant hoodies. He loves this company, and you will too. But hey, guess what? They didn't stop at the greatest hoodie ever made. They expanded well beyond it, continuing to revolutionize your everyday wardrobe and leaving things better than they were before. Explore American Giant's collection of durable essentials at American-Giant.com. And you get 20% off when you use the code KFGD at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com, promo code KFGD.
Back. And we're back. Story number three, Capcom says it'll make PC its main platform going forwards. This is Andy Robinson at VGC. Capcom intends to make PC its main platform in the coming years, it said. Oh, Haruhiro, kept me good?
Yeah, I meant to hit studio. It doesn't matter. Don't worry.
It's all good. It's all good. Haruhiro Tsujimoto, who told Japanese publication Nikkei that the Resident Evil and Monster Hunter firm, quote, will mainly focus on PC software going forwards. The exec indicated that Capcom hopes to increase PC software sales to the point where the platform makes up half of all sales by the end of next year. Quote, PC is driving global sales, he said. We have recently stated that we will make the PC our main platform. At this year's Tokyo Game Show, we focused on exhibiting the PC version of Monster Hunter Rise, and I think people will be able to experience the change in our approach, end quote. Tsujimoto went on to suggest that the focus on PC was in reaction to both an increase in digital sales of legacy titles, quote, Resident Evil 7 still sells over 1 million copies a year, he said.
Damn.
Yeah. And a rise in Japanese PC use during the pandemic. Quote, the PC can also play high quality games, so the number of PC users should increase as understanding of the PC increases. We'll expand our business for dedicated game consoles, which has been the mainstream up to now, but PC will be the mainstream in the near future. Next year, or the year after, we want to equalize the ratio of sales to PCs and dedicated consoles, end quote. In 2019, the company said that PC was the second largest audience for Monster Hunter World, and Resident Evil Village set a franchise record for concurrent players on Steam earlier this year. Tim, how does this sit with you? Do you buy the idea that PC is growing at the rate that Capcom should be settled in making it their main platform to focus on?
I think it's complicated, where a lot of what they're saying is kind of the putting it out into the world so that it becomes the truth type situation, where they're saying this to like kind of get people thinking a certain way. I do think that we're just hitting this convergence point, if we haven't hit it already, where PC gaming is not this crazy foreign thing that is so difficult to understand if you're a console gamer. And I think that there's a lot more similarities, starting with the last console generation and where we're at now, where the seamless integration between the two, especially on the Xbox side of things, is kind of educating more people. And at the end of the day, it's all about education, of understanding of how this stuff works, because a lot of people have PCs. Many people have PCs. And we're at a point that PCs are, you don't need to get a crazy ass Alienware computer that looks like it's gonna take over your life.
Yeah.
With LEDs, you can just have any ass PC can play video games, right? Like, it's just like the barrier to entry is so low. Like, I think back to like mobile games in from 2000 to 2010, it was just like what you could do on a phone is so radically different than what you can do today, and how quickly that happened is insane. But we've hit a point now where no matter what smartphone you're getting, whether it's the brand new iPhone or a random ass Android phone, there's not that big of a gap between what's available and how it's going to run and play and stuff. To some extent, obviously, there's exceptions to that. But I just think that there's more consistency across a wider group of hardware. And it's the same on the PC side, where more PCs are able to play games at scaled levels that are acceptable, and things like Steam and just different marketplaces, including the Xbox store, are going to make this even more simple for people to understand. So I'm not surprised by this, especially as games have turned even more than they used to be PC developed and then ported to consoles, or like made so that they can work everywhere. So that all starts on the PC. Why not end on the PC?
Yeah. I think a lot of this is very fascinating in terms of, one, what the pandemic has done for interest in gaming, right? That's the thing we've talked about over the last year and a half in terms of pandemic hitting. And instead of like many industries, right, like things tanking, for video games, video games skyrocket in terms of sales and in terms of interest because people are stuck at home and they're looking for things to do, right? Like that, that naturally makes sense that the progression of that is, of course, PC gaming also rises in interest. And I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of the ease of a PC nowadays. You know, historically, I think we think of PCs as being this hardcore gamers platform. You know, if you're gonna get a PC, you gotta know how to do all the tech stuff. You gotta know how to install drivers. You gotta know how to do X, Y, and Z, which you still gotta know how to install drivers. But like, you know, now
you do on consoles too.
And that's the thing, right?
Consoles, not drivers, but firmware updates and patches and all this.
Yeah,
shit.
Like you still gotta upkeep to a certain extent on consoles as well. And so I think that makes sense, and it's fascinating to see the quote, right? The PC the PC can also play high quality games, so the number of PC users should increase as understanding of the PC increases. I don't know if I agree for that one for one, but I think there is something there in terms of not only are PCs becoming more and more of an accessible platform, but there is always still the argument there that, oh yeah, if you're gonna become a gamer, right, or if you're getting into video games and you have the choice of play on PC, play on PS5, play on Xbox Series X, especially nowadays where it's so hard to obtain a next-gen console. If you already own a PC that can run the game that you're trying to play, if you're trying to play Valorant runs on many PCs, right? That game was developed in a way that where it's optimized for plenty of different PC platforms. And so if that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to play League or if you're trying to play something along those lines, you don't really have to invest in a console. Well, one, those games aren't on consoles, but even like if you want to play those games and then play other shit as well, it's easy just to be like, cool, yeah, let me just stick to PC. I already play Valorant here. I'll get Resident Evil 7 here as well, or I'll get Monster Hunter here as well. Mm-hmm. And I think along with that, there's something you said about how hardcore the Capcom library is as well, right? Like when I think of Monster Hunter, or I think of like even Street Fighter, Resident Evil more so is probably more the most mainstream of that group. But
in the Western society, yeah.
But for the most part, like, those are games that I think appeal a lot to the more quote-unquote hardcore gamer in a way that I understand how those games probably sell a higher amount on PC compared to a lot of other like big AAA games. Like I think those games might speak to those audiences a bit more. So I kind of understand how Capcom reaches this conclusion. But it's very fascinating stuff to see.
Yeah, totally.
Let's move on to story number four. Phil Spencer expects Xbox console shortage to extend into 2022. This is Danielle Pardis at gamesindustry.biz. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has said that the shortage of Xbox Series X consoles will likely last well into next year. Speaking to The Wrap, Spencer said that the struggle to manufacture new units goes beyond the chip shortage, which has affected the current generation of Xbox and PlayStation consoles since launch. Quote, I think it's probably too isolated to talk about it as a chip problem, Spencer said. Quote, when I think about it, what does it mean to get the parts necessary to build a console today and then get it to the markets where the demand is? There are multiple kinds of pinch points in that process, and I think regretfully it's going to be with us for months and months, definitely through the end of the calendar year and into the next calendar year. Quote, the thing that's most disappointing is just the fan disappointment, he continued. People really want this new generation of consoles. They're good consoles, both from us and the other platform holders, and they want the new functionality. We're working hard to bring them to the market, but it's going to be a challenge that we'll work through for quite a while. I feel like this is definitely one of those ongoing stories that we're going to continue to talk about over the months of like, yeah, these things are still going to be hard to get as things go. You know, the chip shortage, and even more so than that, what Phil Spencer is talking about here is going to affect the availability on these things.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's a bummer. I really wish that this would be over because I would love to see what a thriving new generation would look like of games, right? Like, imagine if this pandemic didn't happen. What would Xbox's lineup look like now? Mm-hmm. What would PlayStation's? What would they in 2 years? Like, it's so interesting to do the what if for the what if.
Yeah, especially when you think about how it's already been a banger generation, especially for on the PlayStation side where we've gotten multiple big first party titles. You know, we've gotten Ratchet, we've gotten Deathloop, we've gotten Returnal, we've gotten Spider-Man Miles Morales, we've gotten Demon's Souls. Like, compare this last year of content to the first year of the PS4, and it's a banger. You know, even on the Xbox side, you know, like the PS3, right? Like, and even when you look at the Xbox side, I know there's probably not as much to talk about in terms of big first party releases, but you're still getting a lot of great third-party games, and you're getting Xbox Game Pass straight up, like, destroying anything in terms of the first year that we got on the Xbox One, right? Which was kind of dire in terms of game and in terms of reception. We've completely 180'd that this generation. It's actually really cool to see. And so, yeah, that what if scenario of what if the pandemic wasn't happening, and what if schedules aligned, and what if we were getting every single game that we would have likely have gotten without the effects of the pandemic, is mind blowing. Because somehow, like, you would imagine that we would have gotten even more games, and that's fucking crazy when you think about the games that we did get.
I mean, what's crazy is I think it affected Nintendo the most. Like, I am most interested in what Nintendo's 2020 and 2021 would have looked like pre-pandemic. Even if one day, I hope some information leaks and we just get the plan. We just get like a list the software that they had planned to release in that time frame. Because, man, that could have been crazy. But maybe we'll never know.
We got a couple more quick hits of news stories for you. Let's start with story number 5. Sony is testing free PS5 game trials. This is Jared Moore at IGN. Sony has begun testing free game trials on PlayStation 5, allowing users to play a few hours of games before purchasing them. It's not a perfect service just yet, As spotted by Eurogamer, the trial feature appears to be available only in the United Kingdom right now, and currently includes just two games, Death Stranding Director's Cut and Sackboy: A Big Adventure. For those wondering how long you can play each game, that seems to be dependent upon what you choose. Death Stranding Director's Cut gives players up to 6 hours of free gameplay, while Sackboy: A Big Adventure offers 5. However, the actual amount of time the players will end up spending in the game is likely to be considerably lower than that. In a decision that's likely to affect players differently depending on their internet download speeds, the trial period for each game has been set to trigger from the moment that you select download trial on your console or add to library from the web, as opposed to when you actually start playing the game for the first time. This means that if the game takes you 2 hours to download, then you'll already have used a significant portion of your trial period without actually experiencing any gameplay. At 68 gigabytes and 48 gigabytes before it's playable, Death Stranding's file size could mean that some users end up using most of their trial period just getting the game onto their consoles. You'd hope that should Sony make game trials available worldwide, it would adjust that system. And yeah, this is an interesting one, because it feels like it is two steps forward, two steps back in terms of what this is, because it's awesome to be getting free game trials, right? Like, this takes you back to during the PS3, Xbox 360 generation, where we would get game demos, mm-hmm. and how awesome the thing that was, we can try out games before we actually buy them fully. The fact that they have this weird caveat of, as soon as you click download, that's when the timer starts. It's like, bro, people's internet, people don't have great internet across the board, you know, and that's unfortunate, but it strikes me as something that will get fixed as they probably roll it out worldwide.
This to me reads as, first off, love the game demos are making a return in any form. I've always thought that was great, and I think it's cool. And I don't know necessarily the need or have a place anymore with how many like subscription services we have and how like differently we can consume games that we couldn't before. But I totally take this as the best intentions. They're going to look at this and be like, oh, this was a mistake. It's an oversight. Like, we'll fix it. You know, I don't think that we need to take this and like attack them for it and be like, what the fuck are they doing? They're fucking people. It's like, yo, give them a second. If they don't fix this in a couple months as it rolls out, then we can be like, guys, what the hell? But for right now, it's like, I chalk this up to an oversight that will be fixed.
Let's round out the Roper Report with story number 6. Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender is coming to Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. This is Zach Zwizen at Kotaku. Sure, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl is out in a few days, but that doesn't mean the hype cycle must come to an end anytime soon. It was revealed this weekend that Toph from the popular animated show Avatar will be joining Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl's roster. With the reveal of Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender as the latest character added to the roster, here's the full list of confirmed playable characters in the game. And I believe this is the final list, and so you're getting Aang from Avatar The Last Airbender, April O'Neil from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, CatDog from CatDog, Danny Phantom from Danny Phantom, Helga from Hey Arnold, Korra from The Legend of Korra, Leonardo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Lincoln Loud from The Loud House, Lucy Loud from The Loud House, Michelangelo from TMNT, Nigel Thornberry from The Wild Thornberries, Oblina from Ah Real Monsters, Patrick Starr from SpongeBob, Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy, Ren from Ren and Stimpy, Reptar from Rugrats, Sandy Cheeks from SpongeBob, SpongeBob from SpongeBob, Stimpy from Ren and Stimpy, Toph from Avatar, and Zim from Invader Zim, and Tim motherfucking Geddes. This is a great roster. I'll go ahead and say it.
I was at the game. I was like, I didn't know that. That'd be fun. I'd like to beat the shit out of
Tim Stimpy. Geddes is playable.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. This lineup is, it's always hard when it comes to these kind of collab crossover fighting games, or any game really, but like when it comes to fighting games, you look at it and it's never going to please everybody. And it's always kind of a weird thing where this list to me is better than it could have been for sure, mm-hmm. but it's missing so many things that it's not like the best. But it's that thing where it's like there's enough people here and enough different IP that they're crossing over that I'm like, it hits that new echelon of, well, if you went this hard, I expect more. And that's kind of a good place for them to be, I think, because this looks more similar to a quality Smash clone than like what the Nickelodeon Kart Racer game was a couple years ago. But we'll see. The jury's still out. The biggest thing I want to say is I hate that these games don't have any type of voice acting. Playing the Mario Kart game or the Nickelodeon Kart game was rough because so much of what we tie to these characters is their personality through dialogue. So taking that out, it feels sterile and weird. And I'm hoping that that is not the case with this one. But we'll see, just a couple days out from being able to play this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out tomorrow, right? I think it's tonight this thing unlocks for people. And so I'm super excited to try this thing out. You know, I look at this roster and the thing that hits me is that there's room for dope DLC. Right? I look at this and I'm like, all right, cool. Hit me with some Fairly Odd Parents, right? Like hit me with some different characters. Cause like getting CatDog, Danny Phantom, Toph, SpongeBob, and Zim is such a weird, amalgamation of, oh yeah, we're pulling from the history of Nickelodeon, but we're also hitting you with some of the deep cuts, right? We're hitting you with Toph from Avatar, which I'm super excited to play as. We're hitting you with Danny Phantom. And so that gives me hope that, oh yeah, we're probably going to see some Fairly Odd Parents share. We're probably going to see even some more exciting announcements past launch. I hope. I really hope there's DLC for this thing.
Being a little ambitious about that, but we'll see. I imagine.
I hope so.
Like, I think that there already is announcement of there's going to be some post-game content, but I'm pretty sure it's just like a one and done of like, yeah, hey, there's a couple characters. I would expect the DLC to be more, we couldn't get it done before the game's out type DLC, sure. As opposed to we're supporting this thing after launch for years to come with challenger packs, you know, like, well, unless it's great. I just don't expect it to be great. Fingers crossed. I want more Smash type games. I would love them. I've always loved them, whether it was the Onimusha one or the Ninja Turtles one, back on the
Shrek one,
the Shrek one, all those games, man. I played them all. And PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, all that stuff. None of them got the stuff. So hopefully this one's got the stuff.
Tim, I can't wait to see what Nickelodeon Challenger Pack 1 looks like, but that's probably just so far away. If I wanted what was coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Tori 2 for Switch. New days for you, Hatsune Miku, Colorful Stage. The mobile game is offering a public beta on October 4th through October 19th. Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires launches in North America February 15th, 2022. And then Chezzel is coming to Steam on October 5th. Tim, what do you think Chezzel is?
Chezzel is a mix of chess and pretzels. You play one side with a chessboard and the others, or chess characters, and the other side anthropomorphic pretzels.
You're halfway there, Tim. You're almost there. It is chess, but it's chess puzzles. Kevin, if you can pull up the trailer, it's a very interesting game that I really want to check out. There's been an uptick in chess video games, but chess with a twist. And so like the last week,
Queen's Gambit.
Because of Queen's Gambit, I think I'm with you there, Kevin, too. I think that's what it is. But like there was recently somebody tweeted at me a chess roguelite, which I'm very excited to try out. But this is a chess puzzle game where it seems like one of those cozy games. The vibes seem right. You know, I expected the soundtrack to be like chill and have probably like some lo-fi beats to play chess to. But when you take a piece, I believe you then turn into that piece and you're trying to solve different chess puzzles. And how do you take over all the pieces? And I love it. I'm all about it. And so if you're a chess fan like me, boom, you got a new one here for you. Chezzel. Chezzel is coming to Steam tomorrow.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not teaching you the right things. I like it a lot.
For sure. I think it's meant to be more of a puzzle thing than like a
teaching thing. Yeah, you're 100% like right. It's cool. It's a very clever idea.
Yeah. I'll play this in the chess roguelite and get back to you, Kevin. I'll let you know which one is better.
Sounds good.
For now, let's talk about deal of the day. October PlayStation Now lineup has been revealed. You're getting The Last of Us Part 2 up until January 3rd. You're also getting Fallout 76, Amnesia Collection, Desperados 3, Final Fantasy 8 Remastered, Victor Vran Overkill Edition, and yet another Zombie Defense HD. That's the title of the game. I'm not mocking the game. The game is called Yet Another Zombie Defense HD.
Now it's time. What a list! I mean, shit. That's cool. Last of Us 2 and Final Fantasy 7 Remastered? Come on.
Or Final Fantasy 8 Remastered? Yeah, it's cool.
Wait, okay. Sorry. That does say 8.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just the 8 Remastered. Okay. That's less.
Here's my thing. Cool. I wanted to get hype about Last of Us Part 2, but it's that until January 3rd thing that like struck me in the heart. And I'm like, man, you're so close. Like, cool. You can play Last of Us Part 2 for a couple months on PlayStation Now, but like, it's gone after January 3rd. That's such a short time. I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
It's 3 months, man. Like, that's pretty damn good for a game that just came out last year of that quality. But
for sure,
I digress.
Remember, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can skip the ads. You can write in with your questions. You can also write in with your squad ups, just like Luke did. Luke wrote in with a squad up on PS5 and says, just secured a PS5 and fired up Deathloop. Looking for Kind of Funny Fam to invade and be invaded by. And also, I need to fill out my friends list with good people. If you want to play some Deathloop with Luke on PS5, you can add Luke with the username LukeSkywalker1. That is Luke Skywalker without the E. In Walker. So it's Luke Skywalker, letter R, number one. Go ahead, play some Deathloop, have a good time. Invade Luke, make him suffer. You know, if you're out there playing Deathloop and you're good at it and you're doing the invasions, just give Luke a real hard time. Just for me. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, rewriting the list of what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. A lot of context being added, which I appreciate, but don't count as your wrongs. Bander writes in and says, for Nick All-Star Brawl, the devs confirmed that 2 additional characters will come soon after launch, and DLC is on the table.
So exactly what I just said.
It's on the table, too.
We had 2 characters that we wanted to be part of this release, but we just couldn't quite get it done. Hey, if the game's a success, then maybe we'll think about doing more.
And somebody wrote in with more context about Phasmophobia, but I think we already got that one. So we appreciate that. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. The rest of this week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. Tomorrow, you're getting Greg and Tamor Hussein. On Wednesday, you're getting me and Andy. Thursday, you're getting Greg and Tim. And then on Friday, you're getting Greg and me. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Mike, Andy, and Nick playing some of that New World. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.